Let's ask God to meet us as we open up his word. Father God, work in our hearts now this morning as we open up your word. I pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity, Lord, of thought. Father God, help us to digest, Lord, these great words of scripture, these eternal truths. And Lord, I pray that you would use them to continue to change us. And Lord God, motivate us in this challenge of being a mom and Father, of living in this world with all its issues and troubles. Lord, I ask that you would just work in our hearts. Take away all the distractions now for a bit as we open up your word. And I pray, dear God, that your spirit would just work in our hearts. And I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to begin this morning sort of a little break from our series in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to go right to our eternal truth this morning, which is here. And I want to kind of get a hold of this and wrap our arms around it. And I want to say a couple things. One, I want to say, moms, we thank you for everything that you've done. But we especially thank you for giving us a faith in Jesus Christ. And the eternal truth that I want to share this morning is this, is that the greatest gift that mothers can pass on to their children is a genuine faith. And I want to just kind of take that apart for a second this morning. You know, in our world, we have all types of synthetic products. But one thing that will not endure in this world is a faith that is not genuine. And as I read this, the thought that comes to my heart is this. You know what, as moms and even as dads, you know, our desire is to pass on to our kids all kinds of things. You know, one of the things as a dad, I always wanted my kids to do is to work hard and to hustle. And that's a good thing. And you know, I want them to do well academically, and Jane does as well. And we want them to succeed in doing their desires and accomplishing their purpose that God has. But the one thing that we have to pass on to our kids that's going to help them stand the test of time and even help them get through things when all their other dreams maybe don't come together is a genuine faith. Like this is sort of the foundation, the bedrock, the anchor that all of us need, whether life's good or life's challenging. We have to have a genuine faith in order to stand fast. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That, you know, that's such a big job that we, that moms have and dads too, to pass on to our kids. And by the way, you're going to look about in this passage, how many folks today are our grandparents? There's a lot of you grandparents here. And I want to throw this out. In this passage, right, we just read, Jim just read so well. Did you understand who was brought out in this passage? The faith that started where? In your grandmother and then in your mother and then passed on to you. And if you're a grandmom today, most of you are probably doing overtime. You know, you not only poured it into your kids, now you're trying to pour it into your grands as well. And again, that is so important. And we want to commend you for that, encourage you in that, and strengthen you for the days ahead in that as well. So as we think about this eternal truth, the practical day-to-day prayers, witness that you have for who God is, and an active faith are central factors in a child's spiritual development. And, you know, I throw out to us, you know, it's kind of cool, by the way, how Josh came up to sing with the ladies group today. Right? Appreciate that, Josh. But, you know, sometimes we like, you know, make that kid sit down. You know what? In God's house, praise God, he stood up. And he got to experience what it's like to worship God from our hearts. And that's a good thing. So we're going to dive in. We're going to go right to our first point this morning, which is this, kind of a quick introduction. You know, we're over at 2 Timothy, and, you know, that's a letter, that second letter that Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And who is Timothy? Timothy is this his protege in the faith. He is the son of Paul in the faith. He is the person that Paul sends to fix all the issues and all the problems in these various churches. You know, Timothy has gone all kinds of places in all kinds of situations. The book is there to sort of be a handbook for how to live a godly life and to accomplish God's purpose. And it's a great encouragement to Timothy, because like all of us know, when we're out there trying to accomplish a life of purpose, there's always obstacles, there's always problems, and we need to know how to prepare for those things. And that's what this book is all about. So this book is a letter from Paul to Timothy, but it brings out the importance of Timothy's faith that was passed on from his grandmother and from his mom. So we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit this morning. So the first thing I want to share with you guys, or the second point, but the first thing in detail we want to share is, so let's look at what's a mother's goal. When it comes to Scripture, what's a mother's goal? And the first place I want to take you, I want to go to this first passage of Scripture. And by the way, this is kind of foundational as well. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You can write this word down. It's spelled S-H-E-M-A in English, the Shema. And it was given back as part of the law in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you guys to get your arms around this just for a second, but this kind of is a mother's goal. And it says these words. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And I want to throw this out. That's sort of the essence of life and knowing God, right? Loving God with every fabric of our being. And a mother's goal is to kind of pass that love of God on to her kids. And notice he says a little bit how to do that. Here's sort of the technique that we can go about to do that. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." I'm going to everybody look up for a second. Moms, it's going to be really difficult for you to pass on what you don't have. And by the way, as Moses writes these words from God, he says, "I want these things to be in your heart so you can pass them on with a passion and with a purpose and with persistence, because it's going to be a task that's going to be challenging." But he says, "I want you to have it in your heart." You know, it's something that just burns within you. And he says these words. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And what he's trying to say, he's saying, take the words of God, in this case the law, and just talk about it in the context of everyday life so we understand that God's ways permeate everything that we do. And God helps us analyze every situation. He helps us to understand every fear. He gives us a perspective on every problem. When God's laws are in our hearts and we're talking about them and we're sifting the things of life through God's laws, then we're going to have an understanding that is biblical, godly, and that will hold up. And that's what he's trying to get across. So that's kind of sort of a foundational thing. If we want to get godly character into our children, and by the way, everybody look up for a quick sec. It doesn't stop when they turn 18. And especially, by the way, the power of your prayer, which probably is more persistent even after 18 than it was before, goes on. And we can continue to live godly lives. We can continue to impact them with Scripture and with these words of God as they unpack the situations of their lives. And that's our goal. But that's like discipleship. It goes on. Even in adulthood, it goes on. And that needs to continue with us. We need to kind of take God's perspective on things and sift everything else through that. And that is going to give us a framework to work on. So I want to move to the next passage real quick as we kind of dig in here for a second. And here's the point I want you guys to walk away with today. The thing that we need to, as moms and as dads and as the Church of Jesus Christ, is we need to set the foundation of godly character in our kids. That is the most important thing, because character is going to stand the test of time. Character is what's going to bring them through every situation. Money is great. Great education is great. Skills are great. Character endures. And character is that foundational thing. And I kind of want to share with you, and I want you guys to think of it this way. How many parents, you know, sometimes you get frustrated with your kids, you know, clean your room, do your homework, do this, do that. They don't do those things, so, you know, maybe the way you want. And you kind of get down and you get kind of frustrated with them. And then maybe you find yourself in a situation where, you know, maybe your kid's, you know, being recognized at school, or being, you know, you're with another parent, and they come to you and they say, man, your son or your daughter is awesome. You ever been there? Right? And you go, are they talking about the same kid that I just had to drag out of bed this morning? Are they talking about the same kid that, you know, I'm screaming at yesterday? And the answer is, they are. And I want to throw this out. That is an indication, right, that your teachings are hitting home. They're being paid off. Like, and I'll throw this out. Like, isn't it great when you hear people say, oh, your son or daughter, they're so helpful. They're so caring. They work so hard. Now, y'all laughing, right? I know. I hear you. Right? But isn't it great when you hear those things sometimes from someone else that you don't know, and you're like, wow. And that's kind of the point that we're trying to get here, is character is what we're looking for. And I want to share with you guys, that's the truth of what happened here. There's two people we're looking at in this story, Lois and Eunice. Not Eunice right over here. Okay. But she's named after her, I would guess. Maybe that's how mom picked her name. Did she name you after her? The nurse. The nurse. So the nurse named you. There you go. All right, that's good. So these two people, though, are hearing from others about the character that Timothy possesses. And it's kind of a great thing, right? Like this thing worked. It actually worked what God said. And by the way, it always does. And I want to just share with you guys some scriptures real quick as we think through Timothy's character and how Lois and Eunice were successful. And look what it says. It says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. And check out what it says about Timothy. It says, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Isn't that kind of cool? Here he is on the other side of the world to them. And guess what? Good news is coming back about this guy. He is well spoken of. And he actually is being used by God to strengthen the churches in their faith and to grow them in this other part of the world. So his character was standing out. You can see some of the successes. We're going to move down real quick. Acts 16 records that. All these other passages, Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Look what it says. It says, Timothy, my fellow worker. You know, guess what? It sounds like Timothy had a work ethic. Paul said, come with me, work with me. And he worked, you know, laboriously and faithfully. Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for this reason, I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. He's like, hey, Timothy, look what he's loved. He's faithful. He's learned from Paul. He understands the word of God. He can share it and teach it. And that comes out. Look at the next one. It's 1 Corinthians 16:10. It says, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord. And again, his character is just coming out. Look at 1 Thessalonians. And send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish and encourage you concerning your faith. So you see, Timothy, again, he's the guy that gets sent out. He's a laborer. He's an encourager. He's a worker. He's faithful. He's doing all of these things that God would have him do because his parents were able to instill in him this genuine faith. It's unbelievable. So we'll go to the next one real fast. Check out this one. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." And I want you to listen to this opinion of Timothy. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." Do you hear what he said? He says, Timothy, in other words, your son, he rises above everyone else because he is so faithful. He is so like-minded. He is so caring for people. And again, how'd that happen? Because that process began with his grandmother and his mother. Isn't that kind of amazing? That's how he got here. And then notice we come down to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 and 19 later on. It says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith that have suffered shipwreck." So he says, Timothy has this faith and he has a conscience that is pure. And again, we just see the work that Lois and Eunice did in this young man. And I want to just slide down to the next passage here for a second. And we're just going to hit these kind of quick in this passage in the book of 2 Timothy. But notice, right, some of the goals that we might have as a mom is that we want our children to be loved. And look at Timothy. Look what it says. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son." And again, we're seeing the fruit of investing into the lives of our kids. We're going to skip on down to the next one. Our children are loved. What a great goal. Get on to the next one. How about our children are remembered as servants? And Paul, you know, by the way, Paul must have just prayed every day for an extended period of time for people who worked with him and served with him in the gospel. And it says, "I thank God whom I serve," in verse 3, "with a pure conscience in my forefathers without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers day and night," or it says actually night and day. And I'm going to skip over about the part I have in yellow. He says, "being mindful of your tears." So Paul is praying for Timothy, and he remembers him as a servant of God who serves faithfully to the point of tears. He remembers him. And, you know, a good goal for moms, right? Our children are loved. Our children have this faith. Our children are remembered as servants. And you see, Timothy is one of those people. We'll get on to the next one. Look what Paul says about him. Timothy's not only loved, Timothy's not also remembered in prayer as a servant, but he's somebody who's sought after. And isn't that something we want for our kids? We want our kids to be people that others seek out for advice, for, you know, how to do things. Sought out because of their character. And look what Paul says about him. He says, "greatly desiring to see you." Like, Paul wants to be with Timothy. And but wouldn't it be a desire of us that we would raise up children that people want to be with? People want to be impacted by. People want to be changed by or affected by these people. And he says that, "greatly desiring to see you." We'll go down to the next piece. You know, and then he says here, our children literally have a genuine faith that is evident. And that's a kind of a challenge for us. Like, we want our kids, by the way, in this world where everything is up for question, to have a genuine faith in God that is evident, that stands out, that separates them from everyone else, that gives them an anchor when no one else has it. And look what he says. He says, "when I call to remember," verse 5, "the genuine faith that is in you." Paul remembers. He's solid. And I want you guys to think with me. Everybody look up for a second. Share with me. what would be some indicators of a genuine faith? Say it, go ahead.
Peace.
Peace. By the way, in the world that we live in, there seems to be a general absence of peace, not so much in terms of war, but in terms of in our hearts. Peace is a given. What else?
Honesty,
right? I even raised a beer with integrity. That our children have integrity no matter what. That'd be a huge thing. What else?
Love.
Somebody said it, love. That they would see our kids would love people no matter who they are, where they've been from, that they would love them with the love of Christ. That's a genuine faith. Yeah, they would trust in God and accept life even when it's challenging, even when it's difficult. That's a genuine faith. We want our kids to have those things because it gives them the tools to do what? To live life and live life in a way that glorifies God and gives them hope no matter what's going on. That's why this faith thing is so important. You know, I could give them $1 million. They may not have the tools. By the way, let me step back. I can't give them $1 million. You guys are getting worried, saying, man, I think we're paying them too much. Right? Sorry, Phil and Dan are here. I can't give you $1 million. And Sarah, she's not, but I can't give it to her either. It felt like we did, but we didn't. Right? But we can give them all these things, but if we don't give them a faith, what will be the tools that will get them through life no matter what comes? That's why this is so significant. And you see in this case, Timothy, right, he got it. And I'm going to throw this out. His mom was a believer. She was Greek. And his dad was a Jew, right? And somehow they worked it out. They came to Christ. And bam, there he is. He's the man who has genuine faith. And we'll go on down to the next thing. F. Take us there, Sam, if you would. Our children leave a godly legacy. This is a huge thing, right? I know for me, as I get older, you know, I want my kids to leave a godly legacy in their lives and lead others to Christ. And he says this in verses 6 and 7. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In other words, you know what? As our children, if they come to faith in Jesus Christ, God is going to give them spiritual gifts. And the desire that we want them to do is to cultivate those gifts, use those gifts so their life is effective in doing and accomplishing the purpose that God has given them. And again, by the way, many of us are going like, wow, my kids are not quite there. Everybody look up for a second. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if we're to say, you know, how many of us have their kids that are right there like Timothy? There would not be too many hands up. But that's why we pray. That's why we trust God. That's why we continue to press on. We continue to talk about these things. We continue to do Deuteronomy 6 and process life with them at every single stage because God is still working in them. And until they leave this earth, he'll continue to do that. But we want them to have that, leave a godly legacy. I'm going to go down to the next thing. I want you guys to notice the origin. Everybody look up. Look up at the screen. Kind of get a grip on this, right? The origin of his faith wasn't that he attended Sunday school. The origin of his faith wasn't that he was part of an incredible youth group. The origin of his faith was it dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. By the way, I praise God for a great youth group. I praise God that we have Sunday school. I praise God for all the other people that impact the lives of our kids and my kids. But the responsibility to raise godly kids is on the parents and the grandparents. The seed of their faith is going to begin there. The first examples of seeing that is going to be with grandmom and mom. And that's what God wants us to understand. Like we can't just go, church, here's my kids, fix them. And we want that. We want sort of the magic answer, the magic fix to our children. But the magic fix is a day-to-day life that we separate ourselves unto God and that we grow as moms and dads and our kids begin to understand that this thing is real and they see it, you know, people use that phrase, in shoe leather. In other words, they see it when things are good, they see it when things are bad, and when our parents mess up, they see them confess to God and confess to them, we messed up. And they see a God who's faithful, a God who's loving, and a God of grace who intercedes for us even when we mess up. And they begin to understand God is real, God is loving. We begin to understand God's attributes. But it starts with Lois and Eunice, grandmoms and moms. And we'll hold dads until June 18th. I believe that's the right Sunday. But does that make sense? And I'll throw this out. Just imagine, by the way, the impact if all of us were Lois's and Eunice's doing our jobs the way God would call us to do. We can all get better at that, but the impact on our children is going to be huge, and the impact on others' children in the body as we do it together is going to be big. And that's what God is looking for. So we're going to move on real fast. Always remember the origin. So here's a mother's guide, and we're going to hit this kind of fast. It's 12:12. But I want you guys to get a hold of this real quick, right? A mother's guide. Maybe you can take a picture of the screen. This, by the way, comes from Timothy, from 1 Timothy, the first letter of Paul to Timothy. What do I need to do? And he says this, and I want you guys to turn to 1 Timothy with me, if you would. These are some quick things that we can write down. By the way, they're not quick things. But these are some quick things that we can write down to sort of give us a little guide about how we can be like a Lois and a Eunice and pass on this faith to our kids. And the first place I want you guys to look at with me is chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 7. Everybody go there real fast. Take a minute, go there. It's not on the screen, so go there. The other ones are, this one's not. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. By the way, this applies to the title, Exercise Godliness. And in verse 7, here's what he instructs Timothy, and I think his parents had to be instructed this as well. He says, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. And that word, by the way, is a word in the Greek language. It has this word, agonizomai, in it, is the word. Agonizomai. And it, you know, where does that sound? When I say the word agon, what's that sound like? Agony, right? Yeah, that's the word that's in there, right? So you're gonna discipline yourself. You're going to agonize over this like you would as an athlete to accomplish this goal. You're going to exercise yourself toward godliness so you can become a Lois or a Eunice, or you can become a godly man as well. We're going to exercise ourselves that way. And that's so important. And then we're going to, that's sort of the starting place. Now we're going to shoot down to verse 12. And here's the thing, everybody, look, we'll kind of deal with these one by one very quickly, but first thing he says, and do me a favor, just go back if you would there real quick. We'll hit the list. First thing he says is, don't mind your age. Everybody get that? And by the way, he was talking to Timothy at this point. Timothy was young, and people have this idea, well, when we're young, we don't really have to be godly. We can sow our wild oats. We can do all this stuff. He said, don't pay attention to your age, but be godly. And I want to throw this out, you know, as moms, who we're kind of focused on today, that can apply in a lot of ways. Don't mind your age if you're really young. Don't mind your age if you're kind of older either. That is not the issue. And let's look at verse 12. Look what he says in this context, and Sam will take us there right now. Check it out. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, he's saying, let's not use our age as an excuse. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that. No, there's no excuses. Just exercise yourself to godliness. Work at it. And that's such an important thing for us. Sometimes we get old and we go, oh, I'm old, I'm too tired. You know, I'm going to encourage all our grandmoms. By the way, as grandparents, it's probably a lot harder chasing kids around at your age than it was when you were 25. Don't mind your age. God will give you the continued grace to do what you do. And I say that particularly in this day. And there's lots of people in our church family that are grandmoms that are doing way more than most grandmoms used to do. But I want to say this. I want to encourage you. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? So don't mind your age. I know it hurts a little more. It's a little harder. Continue to exercise yourself to godliness because it is going to pay off. And I see that in our church family, by the way. I see lots of grandparents working with their grandkids and seeing their grandkids grow and be in church and be where they need to be and do things they wouldn't be able to do unless grandparents did what they do. So don't mind your age. Let's go to the next point. Take us back, Sam, if you would. So the first thing is, right, don't mind your age. Back up to the top. Here's the next one. Be an example. And look what he says. He says, be an example to the believers in your words, in your conduct, in your love, in your spirit, in your faith, and in your purity. And he's calling us as moms, right? Let's not try to act like our kids or be their friends or their buddies all the time. By the way, let's be friendly. Let's be loving. But we're not their friend and we're not their buddy. Let's be godly. Like, that's what he's trying to say. He says, be an example. I know they want to, you know, go punch somebody out. Don't say, I'll come with you. Right? The point is, let's give them the right example. Let's give them the way Jesus would do it because they're not thinking like Jesus because they're still hard-headed and hot-headed at this point of their lives. Be an example. And that's so huge. And by the way, everybody look up. Is that easy to do? It's not, right? And here's the deal. When you get the phone call from home, from school, you know, in my day, and I'll share a story. When I was in elementary school, I had a principal, and you know, God rest his soul, if he's still on earth, I'm not quite sure, but he had this phrase. Whenever we would see him, he said, "I'm going to nail you." It wasn't, "How you doing? I want to help you learn." It was, "I'm going to nail you." And I remember going to his office one day, and I got into a fight in school, in elementary school. I don't remember if I won or lost, but I got into a fight. And I got into his office, and, you know, like that was his reputation. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to probably have to suspend you and call your parents." That is the day I learned the power of prayer. And I prayed, like, please, and I, like, begged, "Don't call my parents." And I know Jane's laughing because she knows my parents. My dad is really short. You saw him. He's shrunk. He was always short. He's shrunk. He's shorter now than he ever was. You know, and my mom was real quiet. But, man, don't get in trouble at school. Right? And I was afraid. And I say that to say this. You know, today when teachers call home, the parent usually gangs up with the kid to go beat up the teacher. And I'll throw this out. And I have a daughter who's a teacher. She really likes kids. She teaches. She coaches. If she has to call home, she doesn't hate your kids. She's really trying to help. And as parents, I think we begin to act like children. We're going to gang up with our kid and beat up the teacher who is making, you know, our kid not do what they want. But they need to do what they're supposed to do. And I want to challenge us as a body, right? That's how we have to. And by the way, if you get a call from our youth group leaders, you know, if you get a call from, you know, these places, they don't really hate your kid. They're trying to help direct them, and maybe something's wrong. Maybe we need to understand it better, but we need to be a godly example. We need to be listeners, not reactors to these things. And he says it here, so important. So moms, by the way, praise God, by the way, because dads, you know, we're wired like more, many dads are wired more, you know, combatively. We want to fight and do all these things. Praise God for moms who bring sense to the situation. Right, that's a good thing. Notice the next thing he says, and we'll go down to verse 13. He says, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. You see that? Verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What's he saying here? What's going on here? Here's what he's trying to say. We'll go back to our list, if you would there, Sam. He's trying to say this, you know what? Set spiritual priorities. And here's the point. Our kids are not going to grow if we don't grow. They're not going to know it's really cool to read God's word if we don't read God's word. They're not going to pray if we don't pray. I appreciate this, by the way. I see back there Jeff Bassett. And I remember Jeff and Cynthia, we talked about this like, it seemed like 100 years ago. But we're not that old, so it can't be that old, right? But I remember Jeff, you said this, Jeff, one time. He said when he was working with Campus Crusade, Campus Crusade for Christ, he said, one of their mottos was, these things are more caught than they are taught. And that's kind of the principle here. Like, as we set spiritual priorities, as we are an example for our children, our kids are going to catch it. Like, we could tell them, you know, all day, they could memorize the verse at church, but when they see us do it under pressure, it really gets in their mind and in their heart. And that's kind of the idea. Set spiritual priorities. We got to be in God's word. Remember, we read that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? Teach them to your kids, right? Have them in your heart. They can't be in your heart if you never read it. And that's got to be something we have to discipline ourselves to do. We talked about this a while back. You know, whether you listen to the Bible, you have it on a CD, you have it in your car, you read it, you get up early, you stay up late, whatever you do, just do it somehow. Because God's going to impact your life. The next thing, look at verse 14, and Sam will take us there. He says this, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And what he's trying to say here is this, develop your spiritual gifts. And think about this as parents, everybody look up for a second. A lot of us again say, oh, you know, I would do that if I were younger. I got bad news, you're not going to be younger. But I'll throw this out. At First Baptist Church, we got an awful lot of not-so-young people doing a lot of amazing stuff. And I praise God. I see people that are older, they do things that younger people wish they could still do. It's unbelievable what you guys do sometimes. And I want to encourage us, we as adults need to develop our spiritual gifts in the context of the body of Christ and use them and bring your kids along for the ride so they see you doing those things. And by the way, there's a million, one of the big things now is we need young blood, we just need blood to like unload trucks, to move food, to get people, you know, get stuff going. We need people. We need people who work in youth ministries. We need people in Sunday school. We need people everywhere. And I praise God again, I won't say this maybe again, but praise God, you know, Joshua right up on stage trying to sing with mom. You know, that's the kind of thing. And I can remember back in the day, you know, teaching youth group with Sarah on my back in a backpack, you know, and doing those kind of things because I had nowhere else to put her. And Jane was in the kitchen making like food or something for a youth group. So the only place we could put her was in the backpack or in your arm or somewhere. But it's okay because we're a church and we're a family. And it's cool that our kids are part of what we do. We don't have to throw them off to some, only a youth ministry because we're too busy for them. That's when they learn, when they're part of what's going on. And that's what he's trying to get across to Timothy here in this context. Go to the next thing real fast. Meditate on these things and give your all to them. And I want to encourage you as moms. So important, right? Meditate, think about these things. We said this last week. We don't think too deeply about too much in this day because we're so confronted with more information every single second. We don't think deeply. But if we don't think deeply, we're not going to change deeply. we're not going to grow. We're not going to be deep. And that's one of our challenges. Our world and even our own lives are often very shallow. We got to think more deeply. And we'll move down to the next thing. Look what he says. This is an important one. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Take heed to yourself. And I'm going to go back to our list there, if you would there, Sam. Take heed to yourself and your heart. In other words, take time out in the craziness of our lives and look at your own heart. And when you see stuff, when you see how you act that's inappropriate, think about why is that going on. And by the way, all of us do it. I do it. You know, I get mad. I get frustrated. I get sad. You know, I was talking about this somebody this week. One of our challenges sometimes, even right now, sometimes we just need to think deeply about these things and look at ourselves and really compare ourselves to what God's standard is and say, what's going on here? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I think that's going to help us to really grow and to change and to be better. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. None of us have got this all figured out and all applied the way that we should. And we won't until we walk into the doorway of heaven through the rapture or through death. So let's just keep looking at ourselves. And by the way, it's helpful when other people look at us too and say, hey, you know what? That's not right. And by the way, it's helpful for me because I'm not always right either. So don't ever think that. The deacons aren't always right. The leaders aren't always right. It's helpful to have other sets of eyes watch us and say, hey, you could have did that a little better. What were you thinking when you did that? You know, and it's okay because we need each other. We're the body. We're not just one, you know, just one person on our own. And then the last thing I want to leave with you guys is this one. And it's not, there's no verse for it, Sam. Sam, by the way, is a great anticipator of me. But I got him. There's no verse. Go back. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What's that say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You know what? With our kids, as we become the moms that God wants us to be, there's going to be a whole lot of things you can't change. Trust God to do that, what you can't do. Keep praying. By the way, especially as you have adult children, you know, we're in that category now too. I can't make them do everything like I could before, but I can't stop praying for them that God would do the changes that he sees. By the way, some of the changes, I don't even know what they are, but God does. And I say, God, work in their lives. God, bring someone else in alongside them to help them to continue to grow, to change, to be more who he wants you to be. So we got to do those things. Don't mind your age. Be an example. Set spiritual priorities. Develop your gifts. Meditate on these things and give your all to them. Take heed to yourself and your heart. Pray without ceasing. And let God do what you can. Good God for moms. Good God for dads. Good God really for anybody who's spiritual. So we're going to go to the next point. Bring us all the way down if you would, Sam. Here's the last thing we want to end on today. So the greatest gift a mother can do is pass on a genuine faith. And I want to ask you moms today in a serious way, by the way, moms, grandmoms, maybe you're a foster mom or you're just involved in the life of a child as their, you know, maybe you're their aunt, you're some relation to them. What are you going to pass on? And I want to challenge you, pass on a genuine faith, but in these ways, practice it. Show them that you trust God and see what God sees. Always remember that as long as we have breath, it's possible to bring about change. See that possibility. And I'll throw this out for the rest of us. You guys are going, well, you know, church was good today, but it was all focused on the moms and what they need to do. Well, I want to throw this out. For the rest of us, are we receiving what our moms and our grandmoms taught us? Do we remember it? Do we reflect on some of those things? And today, you know, all of us, we would say, hey, you know what? As kids, I'm willing to recommit myself to what God wants me to do that my parents told me way long ago. Or maybe they just told you yesterday. I'm willing to say, hey, you know what? I need to hear and listen to my parents. You know, we're going to look at Children's Day coming up in the month of June. And one of the great things that God says about children is what? Honor your mother and your father. It's the first commandment with promise. Obey them. Right? So here's the thought. You know, moms, are we going to do those things? The rest of us, are we going to heed those things? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Father, that you would just take this day that's dedicated to moms, Lord, and that you would refresh their hearts. I pray, Lord, if they're moms, grandmoms, some other woman of great influence in the life of anyone, dear God, today I pray that you would refresh their spirit by your word and by your spirit. Father, the battle is not over. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just encourage our moms, our grandmoms, and each other woman who's here with these words today. Father, your words, not my words, your words. Strengthen them for the days ahead. Father, cause them to recommit themselves to doing those things that will make a difference. And Father God, for the rest of us, I pray, dear God, that you would raise up, Lord, in this generation, a group of Timothys who are faithful to learn the things that they've been taught. Lord God, give all of us a teachable heart and a teachable spirit. And Lord, I just want to pray that you would just help us, even right now as we sing, to do business with you in a real and honest way. And I want to pray these things now in Jesus' name.